February 13th, 2015. Guess what time it is? It's time for another Drupalize Me podcast. Drupalize Me. All right, and thank you for joining me on today's podcast. This podcast, I've actually been covering the front end quite a bit lately, and today is no exception. I got a few Lolabots on the podcast today, and they're on the podcast because they are writing a book, and I really wanted them to have a chance to talk about why they're writing the book, what the heck is the book about, why do we even need this book. So today I'm joined with Carwin Young. Carwin, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, man.
Excellent. I'm so glad that you decided to join today. And along with Carwin is Joe Fender. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks, Kyle.
Thank you. Yeah, I have the pleasure of working with these guys and actually worked quite closely with Joe. He used to be on the Drupalize Me side, and he went over to Lolabot to, I don't know
why.
Yes,
indeed.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
I guess around maybe over 6 months now, it must be. Yeah, I kind of switched, I guess, over to the client services stuff.
So, the cool kids.
The cool kids. We miss you, but I'm glad to still have you around in the Lolabot ring or realm.
Yeah, I haven't been on this podcast for ages, and it's really nice to get back on and contribute back to the Drupalize Me website.
Well, cool. Yeah, like I said, I've been covering a lot of front-end stuff. The last podcast I had was about the front-end rapport, which Carwin is involved in, and I just thought, hey, let's keep the trend going. And the first thing, I mean, you guys are writing this book, and it's about front end, and it's called Front End Fundamentals. And I guess my first question is, why are you guys even writing this book?
I'm asking myself that now, to be honest, after the process of writing the book.
Well, we already wrote it, so it's out there, kind of. We're going to push the big red publish button later.
But I guess by the time you're hearing this, it will be available.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah. We're like in the past.
So you were saying earlier, Joe, that this book kind of started with you. What did you wake up one morning and put on your shoes? Probably your lucky shoes. Well, you own a lot of shoes, so they're all lucky shoes. What made you decide to want to write this book?
I guess the short story is that, personally, I found it hard to learn front-end development just because there simply wasn't enough resources available for me to learn about it. So that kind of fueled me to write the book, I guess, in the first place. As I was learning about everything, just Googling around and learning about all the different things and reading books about very specific parts of front-end development, I thought it would be a great idea to write something that just covered it in a more general sense. However, I mean, I started with front-end stuff probably like 2011. I was doing a bit of Node.js and Backbone and stuff like that. And slowly my exposure grew over the years. And I think that the part which kind of I started to take the plunge into the front-end realm was actually part of the Drupalize Me project. Many of the users of the website won't know it, but about 9 months ago now, 10 months ago, I decided to do something crazy and decouple the whole website using Angular.js. And at the time, I didn't actually know much Angular. I knew some of the front-end tools that we talk about in the book, such as Grunt and some of those names you've probably heard of, but I wasn't very confident building like a full decoupled website. So I decided to go to the south of France for 2 weeks. I know that sounds very exotic, but from me, it's only about a 1 hour flight. It's very close. And I decided to rent an Airbnb by myself by the beach and just focus for 2 solid weeks on learning as much as I can about front end stuff and Angular.js. And as I was building and decoupling this Drupalize Me website, I wanted to keep it all in notes so that at a later date I could actually write a book. And the original book was going to be called Front End Automated Workflow or something along those lines. It was going to cover mainly stuff to do with how to lay out the folder structure in your book and how to automate stuff with Grunt. And I wrote quite a lot during those 2 weeks, probably around like 40, 50 pages maybe. And then later that summer, this is last year, obviously, I went to the Lullabot Design and Developer Retreat, which we have every year where we all get together and talk about awesome nerdy stuff. And I spoke to a few people about my book, one of them being Carwin. And Carwin showed a real keen interest in wanting to help with the book. And it was kind of perfect. I was like fist pumping in my head because, and you probably didn't know that, Carwin, but I'm not confident at all in styling. I feel like I know what I'm talking about when it comes to maybe JavaScript and that kind of stuff. But when it comes to styling, I'm like completely lost. And to know that, you were willing to like take that chapter on. And obviously working at Lullabot, I knew that, how good you were with that kind of stuff. And that just gave like a huge kickstart to the book. And at that point, me and Carwin decided to expand the scope of the book. And as opposed to just being about automating your workflow, to actually cover everything to do with front end, and to explain
Almost
to
everything.
people. Yeah, I mean, obviously there's too much to cover, but all of the popular stuff. But yeah, that's how the book came to be. That was probably meant to be a short story, but it turned into a very long-winded one.
No, I mean, I definitely want to know how you came about it. I tried to imagine you sitting Indian style in some weird being Airbnb doing this book, but
Just meditating on Angular.
Exactly. And then
It was
also,
like that. It was pretty crazy.
and as you told that story, I now understand why you need to write a book, because you just said about nine different things from Node, Angular, Grunt. It's the front end is, for me, is just becoming, I almost want to use the word ridiculous, not to be offending, but it is insane the amount of tools that are out there.
Well, it is ridiculous, though. That's the thing. And that's kind of why we wrote the book, just to kind of gather as much as we could in the same place so that new people coming into the front end world could just be like, oh, okay, so this is a thing, and this is a thing, and this is a thing.
Right.
Now I at least am, caught up with what these different things are. Let's learn how to use them, see if they're right for my project, whatever. So.
Yeah, we wrote the book with the idea in mind that if we were to, give this to somebody who's completely new to front-end development, they'd be able to fast track the learning curve that took us, several years probably of our careers to get through. A lot of trial and error was gone in, has gone into how we learn front-end development over the last few years, especially because it's so young and it's growing so quickly and everyone doesn't really know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, that's the real
But
secret of front-end development. Nobody knows what the hell's going on.
Exactly. But I feel like it's got to the point now where there's some players in terms of the tools that are used for front-end development that are kind of staples now. They're probably going to change in a year, but for now they're staples, and they're the kind of go-to tools that people use. There's kind of groups of tools which we talk about in the book, such as frameworks. There's different frameworks, but there's popular frameworks, and then there's different styling methods. We go through different types of styling methods in the book as well, but yeah, we felt like it was in a decent enough place to kind of gather everything and give like an overview, so to speak.
Now you started to describe somewhat of what you're covering in the book, but I want to kind of get deeper into that. But before we do, you decided to go write this book, which makes me want to answer the question of, did you not find a resource out there? Do you feel that you have something unique here? I am sure there are tons of front-end books, but I mean, is that there's probably a
You'd
ton
be
of front-end.
surprised.
That's what
You'd
I'm
be
wondering
very
is
surprised.
there's.
There isn't, as far as I'm aware, there isn't a single book that's out on front end development as a general topic. You'll find tons of books on things like AngularJS. You'll find books on SAS. You'll find books on every individual part that makes front end development. But there's nothing that really says, okay, this is front end development. These are the different aspects of it. And that's kind of the hole we're trying to fill.
Who's the audience for that then? Is this would someone such as myself be able to pick this book up and read it and be able to start dive in, or is it really a starting place to help me dive in?
I think our intended audience was were people who kind of have some kind of knowledge of, you know, HTML, CSS, a little bit of JavaScript, people who are, you know, familiar with the absolute basics and just kind of want to grow in the front end.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what you know. I guess, no, I, like, if you know what HTML and CSS are, yeah,
exactly.
It'll
yeah.
Probably be good.
Yeah. Like I think I said on the other podcast, I was a front end person in 1999, which is a completely different story.
Oh, well, nothing's changed.
Yeah. Nothing at all. Nothing's changed one bit. There's no need for this book. Don't buy it. I'm just kidding. So how did you go about laying the book out from, here's the introduction. How did you segue from section to section? How did you go about doing that? What was your thoughts when you did it?
That was probably the most stressful part of the entire process. At least it was for me. I'm not sure about you, Colin.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember we had a hack pad up, didn't we? Where we were listing up the different sections, and we must have refactored that like a ton of times.
Yeah, totally. In fact, we even wrote entire chapters that just didn't get in because we just no, oh, this will be, you know, better if we just kind of mash these two chapters together. That'll make more sense and that kind of stuff. So there was a lot of refactoring with just the
organization. Yeah, you're right. It made us actually kind of question what are the actual parts of front end development.
Yep.
It's not as clear cut as we thought. You know, there's templating, there's styling, there's markup, there's responsive web design, all these things that are really closely intertwined. And we found it really difficult to separate them into clear chapters. And we did manage to do that. And in fact, we got the chapter number down quite low because we didn't intend for this book to be a long book at all. I think the actual chapters that touch on like things to do with front end development are, what are we talking about, like 5 or 6, is it?
Man, I don't even know. It was, I don't know. The whole idea of this was just tough because as you start writing, I don't know, the book kind of grew in the writing, I guess. Because we planned for it to be really small, like Joe said, but it just kept getting bigger and bigger. So
yeah.
Well, I think we wanted to have like 3 chapters and we ended up with 7 or 8 at one point. And I don't know what the final count is even.
What are some of these chapters called?
We've got a styling chapter, which is maybe the longest one. It's about 10,000 words, I think, something like that. We've got a dependency management chapter, a frameworks chapter, like Joe mentioned, just to name a few. I mean, I don't want to give you the entire table of contents. That might take a while.
No, we want to make people go get the book.
Yeah.
So, now, you guys wrote this book together, and how did that work? How did you guys go about doing that? You mentioned Hackpad as one of your tools. Are there online publishing tools that you found, different types of websites that helped you collaborate together? How did you do that?
Well, it was quite easy for us to divvy up the work because it was quite clear what our strong skill sets were. The great thing was I'd already written some of the work for a couple of the chapters, the smaller chapters in the book already. And so we were able to, you know, copy paste quite a bit of that. But for the main chapters, like the frameworks chapter and the styling chapter, it was quite clear who was going to do what. And so we kind of just went off into our own corners and wrote the chapters. We used Markdown to write the chapters. I used a tool called, I think it's called Mau or Mu.
Mu, I think. Yeah.
Mu. Okay. And I think you use that too, right, Colin?
Yeah, I started writing with Vim, but that turned out to be kind of a pain in the ass. I switched geek. To Mu.
Yeah.
Yeah, geek. I get it.
Yeah, front end is using Vim, hey?
Yeah, yeah.
That definitely does not make much sense.
Yeah. The cool thing was we use leanpub.com to publish the book online, and they have this great system where you can have a GitHub repository that holds all of the Markdown files for your book, and every time you push something to the master branch, leanpub.com detects that and then creates a new preview of your book on their website using the Markdown, and then they format everything beautifully for you into PDFs, into iPad and Kindle, you know, ebooks. So LeanPub is an absolute brilliant system for you know, authoring a book. Nothing but good things to say about that.
I assume they take a royalty and you set a price?
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly basically how it works.
Yep. The internet. Gotta love that type of stuff.
The royalties are actually really small with LeanPub. A lot smaller than most other publishing methods. So it's a good choice, definitely.
Yeah. And I think the best thing about it is that you can easily release updates. So if somebody buys a book on leanpub.com and the author changes the book, all they'd have to do is commit the code to the GitHub repository and then publish the new version. And everybody who bought the book will get an email saying, hey, the book's been updated. Go and get the latest version. All for free, which is great.
And for your book, that's going to have to happen on, what, a weekly basis for each new framework that comes out?
I was so tempted to add another part to the frameworks chapter on, like, a new emerging framework the other day.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I know.
What does it require for a framework to become something you want to put in a book? The amount of forks it has.
I think it needs to become version 1.0 first.
So you have one framework in there, HTML. Oh man, too many things in the front end world.
I know. Yeah.
So you guys are writing a book. Each of you are writing chapters. I guess one of the questions I was trying to figure out is, I mean, your chapters somewhat have to relate somewhat to existing materials. Do you, when you're writing your chapter, just kind of review what the other person wrote so you can mention back?
Yeah, that was kind of the process where I would write a chapter and then Joe would review it, edit it, suggest changes, and then send it back to me and I would make updates, and then the same for him. So he would write and I would edit it and stuff.
Very cool.
Back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah.
And how long did this, from the moment you started writing, Joe, how long did it actually take you guys to write this?
Well, I started last May.
I think I joined in June.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would have been June.
And hopefully it will be live then by the time this podcast. Well, you said it's kind of live, but you have some more editing going on, which I can't.
Well, we published an early version that was unedited, so we hadn't sent it through the editing process.
Okay.
And we basically said, you guys can have this if you want to buy it early for like $3.99. So. Yeah.
Okay. So you just mentioned the editing process. What is your editing process then?
After ourselves, I think it was our moms. Mainly Joe's mom. Joe's mom did a lot of editing. I think she used to work for a magazine. Is that right?
Yeah. She used to write magazine articles, and so she knows what she's doing, I guess, with print and editing and stuff. She even picked up how to use GitHub. And we created her like her own little branch, and she created a GitHub user account. And she just, you know, sat there and hacked away at it and made edits to the files directly for us. Helped a lot, really.
So now I'm going to see in the Lulbot account, Mum Fender is going to try to fork something out for us.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't give her access to the whole Drupal as me ripper, right?
We could use all the help we could get.
Oops.
Now, okay, one of the big things, I think we covered a lot of the book. You actually gave me a copy, and I started reading it, so maybe I can...
But it's not done yet.
That's all right, I know. I'm not... We won't discuss my speed of reading on this podcast. I just got my Kindle, so the whole world is new to me. And I actually mean reading. I don't think I've read since school.
I don't even know how to read. So. Yeah.
Well, it's good that you don't need to know how to read to write, so you're good to go. So I kind of want to turn this now about front-end itself. You obviously, Joe, this book sprung about by you trying to learn everything, so you decided to write about it. So what is the struggles about trying to learn front-end then that spawned this book? Is it just because there's so much out there, or is it actually just difficult to do? When I did it, you just wrote CSS and things were cool, and CSS really isn't the hardest language out there. So I want to start talking to you guys about front-end stuff in general. Where are you angry? What excites you? What is some of the new stuff that is happening? And I'm just going to make Joe start, you know, because I kind of pushed him towards he was... needed to write this book. So what was going on in the front end world that kind of made that happen? Cool. I'm going to take a moment to interrupt here before we dive right into some more conversation with Joe and Carwin, where they kind of give us some insight on some front-end tools and some things they're up to. I just want to cover some news and events. Drupalize Me just launched a new series, which introduces you to the IDE PHP Storm. Our great friends over at JetBrains, just awesome people to work with. They go ahead and let us put on tutorial videos that get you diving into PHP Storm. They teach all about it, and also some of the videos also teach you how to use it along with Drupal. They just added so much functionality that doesn't just make it a normal IDE, but makes an IDE that is Drupal specific as well. An awesome series. I highly recommend you check that out. That's going to be going over the next couple weeks. Addison just put out an awesome blog post on panels, blocks, and layouts and how they deal with Drupal 8 and what's going on with those modules in relation to Drupal 8. The team, we're working hard. We're putting curriculum together. Drupal 8, it's on the top of our minds. There's no release date, but we are diving in. We've got these new What's New videos coming out. We're constantly blogging about it. Drupal 8, Drupal 8, Drupal 8. That's where our mind is. So just stay tuned. Keep looking at our blog. We're getting excited to let you know what we are getting excited about. So we just had DrupalCon Bogota come out. We put out this great blog post that Amber put out, just letting people know if you want to learn some Drupal 8 stuff, where should you go, what should you do. I know our very own Joe Schindler presented there. He said he had a blast. It was awesome. So that I'm sad that I didn't get to go. But other than that, we just got a bunch of meetups, camps happening. I know that we have coming up on the 21st of February, the Charlotte Drive-In Drupal Camp. Check it out. It sounds awesome. Other than that, let's dive right back into this podcast and see what's going on. Let's take a listen to what Joe and Carwin are up to when it comes to some of the things they're working with, some of their favorite tools, some of the frameworks they're into. Let's take a listen.
Well, like you said, there's so much happening in the front end world. There's so many different tools that it can be really overwhelming for new people to get started. I mean, that's probably one of the things that, you know, was most enticing for me to get involved with this. But I don't know really. Like, I think one of the things that I wanted to make clear the most from this book is that even though there is so many different ways to do things and so many tools to do things, it's best just to have a general understanding of everything. As opposed to like picking one way of doing things and then like sticking to that all the time. It's good to have a general understanding of everything so that you can make a really informed decision when you have a project or application come up to build. A lot of the time people will just make things way too complicated when they build front-end applications. They'll want to use every tool and they want to automate everything when all they're doing is like putting a single page with their picture and like their name on it as like a profile page or whatever. And I think the more knowledgeable you are about all the different technologies that are available and what they can actually do, then you can make a lot better decisions when it comes to building these applications. And I mean, I'm a perfect example of this. When I first decoupled or tried to decouple the Drupalize Me website, I was using every tool under the sun. And I was trying to make the automation workflow absolutely perfect. And I must have spent a good amount of time. I can't remember exactly how long, but it must have been like 2 or 3 months on that. And I mean, the actual amount of work I got done in terms of building the website was quite minimal. And a lot of that was down to how many tools I was trying to use and I was trying to figure out how they work together, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I think that's where I'm coming from.
Now, let me see if I have this right as well, though. There is all these tools out there and all there's, I mean, it's constantly changing, but is it all needed? Can't you still do some pretty sweet stuff with just, I mean, in the end, everything that you're doing still just outputs CSS, correct?
Yeah, HTML, CSS, and, right, and JavaScript to some extent.
So most of these tools just enhance your workflows?
They're mostly quality of life things, I guess, for developers, you know, like CSS preprocessors like Sass or Stylus or whatever. They just make it easier. They're supposedly, you know, they're billed as time savers for the most part. But I don't know. The more stuff you add to it, the more time consuming it becomes. So you have these individual time saving tools that end up costing you a lot of time because you're using just way too many.
And did you guys mention this in your book?
Probably.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
Probably. It should be in there.
Well, and again, the idea of the book is just kind of to overview the tools. I don't think there was ever a point when we were saying you should use all of these all the time.
Right.
So, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. There's absolutely no part of the book that says you must use this. There's some opinionated parts where we'll say we prefer this over this, but we're not really, our goal isn't to tell people how to build front-end applications. It's just to give them the knowledge to go out and do it themselves and not have to spend, you know, 12 months trying to figure out what all the 12 different package managers are and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I mean,
we say a lot in the book that you should make sure to do research on your own as well. Like, this is just suggestions or stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
So basically, hey, there's something called package managers out there. This is what they do, but there's 400 of them. Go find one that you like.
Well, it's more like, here are three that are pretty popular right now. This is how they work. If you like them, you should use them. If you don't, there's probably some more.
I think one of the things that we wanted to make really like part of the book was how practical it was. We wanted to make sure that if we're introducing some of the popular tools, that people don't have to go off to another resource to figure out how to actually get started with them. We actually put examples and, you know, things you can follow along within the book on how to get started with these popular tools, how to actually use them in like a use case. Just like a taster of each thing, so that you kind of have an understanding of, oh, okay, this is how this works, and this is how this would fit with this other tool, and so that you can start to make your own decisions about what you want to delve deeper into.
I'm sorry, did you guys kind of write this book so when someone asks you how you guys go about doing front end, you can now just tell them to get your book?
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't have time right now, but I wrote this awesome book. Maybe you should check that out.
Tony, love that.
All right, now Carwin, Joe kind of said some stuff. I want to talk some front end with you now. I want you to tell me.
Uh-oh.
Oh no, yeah. I'm not gonna quiz you or anything. I just want to know some of the cool stuff that you're working with, some of the stuff that you're excited about when it comes to front end things. Let's talk about a tool. I just want to see what you're up to, what you're learning, something new that you've discovered, or maybe something you're using on a project that's saving your life. dead air.
Yeah, dead air time. I don't know. I'm still really interested in AngularJS right now. In fact, I learned a lot about various framework stuff just from Joe's chapters, because that's not something that I have to deal with a lot, because I'm typically on projects for lengthy periods of time. So a lot of times frameworks, like JavaScript frameworks, they'll just come and go as far as popularity goes, and I'll never need any of them. But I really like AngularJS, and I'm interested in React, which is kind of a new kid on the block there. And I'm going to ngConf 2015, which is Google's Angular conference. So that should be pretty fun. But yeah, that's what I'm excited about right now, just Angular stuff.
Give me a quick synopsis of what an Angular does.
An Angular?
No, what Angular does.
Angular, I don't know. It's not so much... I don't know even if I would call it a framework, although we do include it in the frameworks chapter. It's more like an extension on HTML almost, that kind of couples JavaScript. It's a really weird thing that's not like a typical framework. But it's really time-saving. I don't know how to answer that question on the fly. That's tough.
Yeah. Give the definition of X is always a hard question.
Yeah.
When it comes to technology, but... Angular's great. I absolutely love Angular. It's like
I was really hoping you would just say, read the book, Kyle.
I'll read the book, Kyle.
There.
Here, we can fix that post, and that's what I'll say.
All right. I'll take the fact that you just said it now, and I'll put it back there for you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Well, I've enjoyed hearing you guys talk about your book and some of the things that you guys are getting excited about and things like that. Now, how can we go about getting your book? You talked about LeanPub. Is it purchase through LeanPub? How do I go about, if I want this book, what do I do?
So yeah, LeanPub, it offers the whole like purchase system, the checkout experience to get a book. It's really easy. You just go to the website. We'll stick a link in the podcast for you to get a discount as well. And you can just buy the book online, and then you can send it to either your your Kindle or your iPad, or you can just get it in PDF format for your PC or Mac. But we're also going to put it onto Amazon, so you can get it directly through Amazon for your Kindle as well, if you prefer to do that kind of thing. We're not going to be printing the book, before anybody asks. Although we might be printing it in other translated languages, which are in the talks at the moment.
And if someone wants it in print, just get the PDF version.
That's right. Yeah, you can print it out.
Send me a copy as well, please.
How many pages is it?
Depends what you're reading it on.
Yeah, exactly.
Kindle. I'm reading a book and it says I'm like on page one of 40,000. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to read 40,000 pages.
I think the average is like 200-ish.
Okay.
Does that sound right? I mean, the PDF, I think it's like 170, and then some devices, it's around 200. I don't know.
Yeah, it's somewhere around. It's definitely less than 200-ish, maybe, give or take. But it's not long. It's not
a book on a subject that is insane to learn, and there's a million tools out there, but it's not long. That makes me excited that I can maybe even just dive in. I'm coming for your jobs, guys.
You'll be totally prepared, Kyle.
Excellent. That's what I like to hear. So. Well, cool. I'm glad you guys decided to come on. I know that there's actually a couple other Lobots writing some books, so I know we're doing a few podcasts on the awesome things that you guys are up to. It's cool that you actually have spare time in your lives beyond the crazy client work to actually take time to write books to help people. It's one of the cool things that Lobots just seem to have a passion to do, not just to work, but to teach. And writing a book is definitely one of the ways that we go about doing that. From we do the articles on our websites to podcasts like this. It's I'm super stoked that you guys decided to write this book, because it's an awesome topic, and it's quite entertaining to know, Joe, that you couldn't actually find a book that basically just sat you down and said, these are the fundamentals that you need to learn. In other words, if you just type in learn front end, you probably get a book or a podcast or a video clip on 400 different frameworks of some kind. So it's very cool. So I do appreciate you guys coming on the podcast. Do you guys have any last thoughts, anything you want to shout out there about the book or anything else?
Well, thanks for having us on, Kyle. And at the time of listening to this, the book is available. So if you like it, then please talk about it. You know, the reason we wrote this book is not to make money. It's to help people learn about front-end development. So the more people we can get to know about it, the better. There is a Google group that we've set up to discuss the book, and the link is in the book. At the beginning of the book, you'll find that. So if you ever have any, you know, questions about what we talk about in the book, or if you have any suggestions for changes or anything like that, then please reach out to us.
Also, we're sorry if it's outdated tomorrow, because that's just how the front end works.
It was outdated a long time ago.
That's right.
But that's why you guys are just going to keep adding to it. I'm waiting for my update notification inside my Kindle right now.
Oh, great.
No, but cool. Thank you very much, guys. And to all of you out there, keep on Drupalin'.